Voters in 7 California counties have passed measures banning fracking and placing limits on other types of oil extraction. This November, a Citizens Initiative in San Luis Obispo County sought to do the same. Oil companies funded an $8 million campaign to defeat the measure, which divided the county, and ultimately a majority of voters rejected Measure G. The defeat removes one roadblock to a planned expansion of operations at the Arroyo Grande oil field near San Luis Obispo. That field is owned by the Colorado-based petroleum company Sentinel Peak Resources. It bought it from Freeport-McMoRan. That's the name locals will remember from planning and supervisor meetings in 2015. The company's planned expansion also hinges on a decision currently before the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. But neighbors of the oil field are concerned about the safety of their drinking water wells, should new drilling and waste disposal wells edge closer to their properties in the coming years. In response to worries over local water contamination, KCBX News started a reporting project into how groundwater science is conducted to understand the basis of how state and federal regulators decide whether or not to allow oil field owner Sentinel Peak Resources to drill more wells in San Luis Obispo County. We're also looking into the factors state and federal regulators use to balance oil industry production with protecting public health. This is part of an ongoing project by KCBX News' Greta Mart, titled Like Oil and Water. This project is in part funded by a USC Annenberg Center for Health Journalism grant.
Laura Bjorklund was washing dishes when something caught her eye out the window above the kitchen sink. In a pasture where the family's horses graze, a fountain of roiling black oil was shooting into the air.
There was a geyser of oil coming out of the ground. It was like Beverly Hillbillies, 10 times over.
The year was 1981, and the oil was coming from a nearby oil field called Aurora Grande, or Price Canyon. It's named for the canyon and thoroughfare it straddles between San Luis Obispo and Pismo Beach. As the San Luis Obispo Tribune reported at the time, a pool of oil 30 feet across formed in the pasture. The article says a company engineer traced the problem to a nearby oil pump. 3 weeks before the leak, the company had started injecting steam at the pump to ease the oil extraction process. It was the early days of enhanced oil recovery techniques at Aurora Grande. To fix the problem, the engineer said workers planned to, quote, cover up the pool with topsoil and reseed the land so it could revert to pasture, end quote.
They sent all these trucks, and it was a huge fiasco, you know. But then when they tell me that the layers are impermeable, I don't believe them, because this can happen in my pasture.
When Bjorklund says she doesn't believe them, she's referring to the current owner of the Aurora Grande oil field, Sentinel Peak Resources. Continuing a plan started by a prior oil field owner, Sentinel Peak is working towards drilling hundreds of new and replacement wells in Price Canyon. That's so it can keep the 100-year-old-plus oil field producing. Those new wells are partnered with a proposed expansion of the area, known as the Aurora Grande Aquifer, where the oil company can send wastewater underground, tripling its current size. In order to move forward on the project, Sentinel Peak needs what's termed an aquifer exemption from the United States Environmental Protection Agency. That exemption will excuse that underground area from the National Safe Drinking Water Act. The oil company's application is currently before the EPA. Oil companies have been allowed to pump their wastewater into porous rock formations deep underground as a disposal method since the 1930s. What precisely is in the wastewater is not known, as petroleum companies are not required to disclose exact ingredients. The wastewater is called produced water, referred to by the industry as brine or salt water.
Produced water, the most common constituents that you see in it, are associated with high levels of salinity.
Matt Keeling is the Assistant Executive Officer of the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. He says oil field formations coincide with deep, salty marine sediments.
So things like sodium, chloride, sulfate, and then other minerals that you can have in there as well, and metals. And then depending on the produced water source and what level of treatment it may have undergone, it can have, you know, trace levels of other petroleum-type hydrocarbons because it was at one time in contact with oil. And a lot of petroleum hydrocarbon-derived contaminants, have a tendency to be carcinogenic.
Oil companies and the state and federal agencies in charge of regulating the oil and gas industry consider deep underground storage of produced water to be safe. working on the premise that the potentially toxic liquids stay where they are, quote, injected and don't move underground to other areas or aquifers. Neighbors of the Aurora Grande oil field worry that the wastewater from the injection wells is going to migrate underground to their drinking water wells. A report 3 years ago found there are about 105 domestic drinking water supply wells within a one-mile radius of the Aurora Grande oil field. The oil company and state regulators say it's safe to inject wastewater underground in Price Canyon because the geology underneath the oil field is like a bowl, with the sides of the bowl comprised of rocky boundaries that are impermeable. Injection wells are several hundred to even a couple thousand feet deep, while drinking water wells are usually a few hundred feet deep. And oil companies and state regulators maintain that the underground vertical space, separated by layers of silt and rock, keep the two apart.
Now, obviously, if one was to go drill a water well right next to where they were doing the disposal into that aquifer, then you probably would find contamination. So it was just a matter of separation and space.
Preston Jordan is a research geologist with the Energy and Geoscience Division at Lawrence Berkeley National Lab in Berkeley, California. He describes one of his specialties as deep subsurface fluid engineering projects. In all his studies, Jordan says he hasn't found any instances of injected produced water contaminating public drinking water supplies, but
there are events where water has seeped out of the ground surface in relation to water disposal wells, and so one would presume, you know, there's the opportunity in that case for some kind of contamination of quote-unquote groundwater or usable groundwater along the migration pathway that took.
Jordan says in one research project, he compared instances of well failures, blowout spills, essentially any uncontrolled fluid from a well, recorded in state databases, and then those reported in the Bakersfield, California newspaper. He found the data did not match up.
And interestingly, there was at least one blowout I can remember that did have a public impact. I think if I recall correctly, it necessitated the evacuation of a school for a period. And that was only reported in the newspaper. It wasn't in the state data. So from that, and the newspaper captured every blowout that was in any data set that had a substantial public consequence, whereas the state data did not.
So when state and federal regulators say there's no evidence of drinking water contamination from underground injection associated with oil production, it's hard to know if that's actually true. And particularly in the case of private domestic wells, says Jordan. Other organizations, like the Natural Resources Defense Council, say there have been numerous cases of known or suspected drinking water contamination linked to oil and gas production across the country. But again, there's no centralized independent database to consult. But perhaps that will change in the coming years. Jordan is the chair of an independent panel mandated by the California legislature in 2014. The panel is focused on reviewing the state's regulations for and implementation of the Underground Injection Control Program. That's the program by which oil companies are allowed to do underground injection of wastewater. The state regulator, the Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources, it's called DOGGR for short, is currently in the process of creating new regulations for that underground injection. It's just in the past decade that the state's underground injection program is getting any kind of widespread scrutiny, scientific or otherwise. In 2011, the U.S. EPA censored DOGGR for its lack of regulation over where oil companies were injecting wastewater underground. In 2014, the U.S. Government Accountability Office criticized the EPA's oversight of state regulators, saying the EPA's nationwide program to protect underground drinking water sources from injected oil extraction fluids and wastewater just wasn't effective. Since 2009, DOGGR has acknowledged hundreds of injection wells and thousands of enhanced oil recovery wells were improperly permitted. Those that were injecting wastewater into freshwater aquifers were ordered to be shut in or closed down. But for most of the wells, the agency has worked to bring them, quote, into compliance while allowing daily operations to continue. The Aurora Grande Aquifer Exemption application, currently before the EPA, expands the area allowed by the state for wastewater injection since 1983. That's when the state took over regulation. This was long before it was revealed that state regulation had been inadequate and shoddy from the outset. DOGGR officials say the agency has turned over a new leaf, and in recent interviews, they repeatedly pointed to the proposed new regulations. David Bunn directs the state's Department of Conservation, which in turn oversees Dogger.
In the last 5 years, we've completely overhauled the Department of Conservation's division that oversees oil and gas, and we have overhauled our data management system. We've improved our science. And so, on our side, I think we're, frankly, our regulatory role is a much more sophisticated and thorough.
You're listening to KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio. We're hearing a short radio documentary on oil production in San Luis Obispo County. Let's return to Like Oil and Water, an ongoing reporting series by KCBX's Greta Mart.
Adam Peltz is a senior attorney at the Environmental Defense Fund. In mid-September, he submitted comments on Dogger's new underground injection regulations.
The current proposal is already a major improvement on what the state has now. But we're calling for, in particular, better ways of analyzing the integrity of wells on an ongoing basis, because some of them operate for decades and decades. And even if you build it right, if you don't watch to make sure that it's not leaking, you know, everything that you build eventually will break.
And just in the past 2 months, much has been gutted from the latest iteration of the new proposed rules governing underground injection in California. For example, a section mandating monitoring for seismic activity near disposal wells has been eliminated entirely. Meanwhile, in 2016, U.S. Geological Survey researchers published the first conclusive study finding chemicals hazardous to human health in surface water near a wastewater injection well in West Virginia. The study's authors say there are critical gaps in understanding the potential impact on surface water quality and environmental health. One potential threat to domestic water wells surrounding the Aurora Grande oil field is from idle wells. Those are wells that are not actively pumping up oil, but they haven't been officially closed. Even if the wastewater injection wells are working properly, if there are idle wells in close proximity, they can serve as conduits for the injected wastewater to move underground to other areas. Matt Landon is a supervisory hydrologist with the U.S. Geological Survey's California Water Science Center. The center is a program of the California State Water Resources Control Board. Landon works to determine the connections between deep oil and gas activities and deep freshwater aquifer responses. At this point, he stressed, his group really only has preliminary data.
We certainly anticipate that these injection activities, particularly when you combine them with areas where there's a high density of oil and gas wells, some of them which may have been drilled a very long time ago and which were not installed or abandoned according to modern construction practices, so they could serve as potential areas where fluids could leak up into groundwater resources zones.
There are currently 30,000 idle wells across the state. There are 126 idle wells puncturing the Aurora Grande oil field. Landon says it's very difficult to know if there's contamination moving via idle wells from where injection wells are pumping and nearby drinking water wells. One of the big messages of those behind the Measure G campaign is that oil production uses a lot of water resources. Peter Fisk is a geologist and director of the Water Resilience Research Institute at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory.
Clearly, oil and gas production needs water. You need water both during the production of the well, you need water depending on how you're going to pull the oil or gas out of the ground. And of course, water is needed all throughout the process of refining to gasoline. And so water and oil and gas production will always be inextricably linked. And we have to figure out how to close that loop and figure out how to deal with the water that's, you know, a byproduct of oil and gas production.
Fisk is one of 500 scientists and researchers working at the lab's Earth and Environmental Sciences section, and he focuses on how to treat and dispose of water.
I think that the process of injecting wastewater back in the ground is likely to go away in the United States, partly because water is becoming more and more precious. And as the cost of water treatment goes down and the value of water goes up, it may be the case that oil and gas companies actually treat the water right there and end up producing either drinkable water or water that's safe for agricultural use, rather than drilling a hole and pushing it back down.
going into the future, Sentinel Peak is going to have to use more intensive recovery methods to get the remaining oil out of the Aurora Grande oil field. The creators of Measure G say they may try again to bring an anti-fracking measure before the voters, one that will aim at curbing expanded oil production in San Luis Obispo County. That's as the state moves away from fossil fuels towards renewable energy. We have 46 years to reach the 100% clean energy requirement set by the state of California this year. For KCBX News, I'm Greta Mart.
That was KCBX's Greta Mart reporting on oil production in San Luis Obispo County. It's part of her ongoing reporting series entitled Like Oil and Water. Find out more on the series and listen to the entirety of part one at kcbx.org.